discussing this book, Bhagavat Arka Marichimala, which is a study guide to the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam has been analyzed into three categories, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. And the 18,000 verses of the Bhagavatam have been synthesized in these three categories, and Bhaktivinoda has collected about 1,100 verses. So it's a very systematic way to study these basic principles, well, like, let's say the whole gamut of Gaudiya philosophy, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So yesterday we asked, how, if the Lord is transcendental, how can you understand Him with argument? And so then we were explaining how Krishna, there's so many rupams, Sarvesham api vastunam vavarto bhavati stita tasyapi bhagavan krishna kim atad vastu rupyatam. There are so many forms, but the origin of all the forms is chit vastu, or the Supreme Lord Krishna. So now the next verse here is about Krishna's form. Because the Mayavadis, the Advaitin philosophy, the Mayavadis, they say, all right, the Brahman, the formless Brahman in contact with Maya, the formless Brahman in contact with Maya sometimes takes a Mayic form as an incarnation. The incarnations of the Lord are simply Mayic. And Krishna says in Gita, Avajanati Mamudha Manusham Tanam Ashrita. Manusham Tanam Ashrita, when I take shelter, Ashrita, of a Manu Tanu. Tanu means body and Manu means man. Manu Tanam Ashrita. Avajanati Mamudha, the fools, foolish people think that when I appear in what looks like a human form, a Nara Rup, human form, that I am also material, that I am also constituted of prakriti, of this jada prakriti, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. But I'm not. My body is completely transcendental. Satchidananda. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. Anadi Radhya Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Govinda Madi Purusham Tamam Bhajami. So Krishna's form is totally transcendental. So now, to establish that fact, Uddhava is speaking to Vidura in Goragaon, which used to be called Guru, what was it called, the old name? Gurugram, like Nandagram and Nandagaon. So Gurugram means the village of the Guru, and it was named after Dronacharya, is that right? And Dronacharya lived there. But also, maybe for that reason, but whatever reason, Uddhava came there on his way to Himalayas, and he met Vidura. Or Vidura met on his way to the Himalayas, because Vidura met Maitreya. This third canto, the first four chapters of the third canto were spoken in the village of Delhi where they live, Gurugram. It's called Gurugaon, the village of the Guru. So the Guru in this case is Uddhava Mahashaya. So he's speaking about the transcendental nature of Krishna, his body, to Vidura, his incarnation of Yamaraj. And this is in third canto, chapter 2, verse 12. Yanmartyalilo payakam swayoga maya bhalam darshayata grihitam ismapanam swasya chaso bagardhe paramparam bhushna bhushanangham. The form of Krishna is the eternal wealth of Goloka. That form has been manifested in this material world by the arrangement of his own internal energy, yoga maya. The form of Krishna is suitable for enacting pastimes in this material world. The form of Krishna is so beautiful that even he himself becomes astonished and attracted. He is the supreme destination of all mystic perfection and the ornament of all ornaments. He's a bhushana of bhushanangam. In other words, Krishna is transcendental to all visible objects, and he is extraordinary among all extraordinary objects. So all these particular verses are all under a category called Sambandha Gyan, knowledge of relationship, knowledge of identity. What is my identity as a spiritual being? What is the identity of the Supreme Absolute Truth, God? What is our relationship? And what is this material world? What is the spiritual world? What is time and what is action? What is proper action, improper action, and conditional action, or binding action? And what is liberating action? Liberating action and sinful action, then binding action. So, in this verse, so by reading this particular chapter, this chapter is called Shakti Tattva. which means the study of the Lord's science of the Lord's energies. Tattva means science or knowledge. Science of the Lord's energies. So we have to understand all these subjects so that we can enter into the Prem Seva of Radha and Krishna. Understand their Prem Dham. Understand their feelings and their emotions. So this builds our foundation of devotion. First the foundation is established, and then you build the walls. You build the walls and floors, and then you decorate the house. Then you move in, and you start living there. So this is the foundation, Sambandhagyan. And then erecting the house on the foundation is called Abhideya. And decorating it and all these things is Abhideya. Then actually living there, living actively, eternally in that relationship is called Prayojan, the goal of life. So that's an analogy, you could say. So here, Uddhav is one of the great Haridasas, one of the great devotees of the Lord, and he's a great Mahajan, Mahajanacharya. He's explaining about Krishna. Because as I mentioned in the onset, many Advaitins and Mayavadis, they say this form of Krishna, he's simply material. He's not spiritual. So Uddhava wants to explain, no, Krishna's form is it's the eternal wealth of Goloka. Krishna's form, Goloka is a spiritual world, Vaikuntha. And Krishna's form is the ornament of all ornaments. It's totally transcendental. And it's so beautiful. There's nothing material in this world that can attract Krishna. Krishna's not attracted to anything material, which proves he's not material. He has no attraction. He's so attractive. He's such an incredible, unlimited, spiritual, attractive force that he even becomes attracted to himself. Of course, in the material world, this phenomenon is called narcissist. It's one who looks in the mirror and says, oh, I'm so beautiful. He falls in love with himself. It's called narcissism. You know this term? So it's a little bit different. Because Krishna is that unbelievably unlimited attractive personality. And his body manifests here directly from the spiritual world, not through any material agency, not through any vikar, parinamvad, or any type of transformation of energy. Krishna is transcendental in the spiritual world, and that same form manifests here, unchanged. Unchanged by the material energy, unaffected by the material energy, and untouched by the material energy. Just like you have oil and water. You put some oil on water, the oil floats on the surface. It's one with the water, but not. It's touching the water, but it's not watery. The oil maintains its separate existence. It's just floating on top, because oil floats on the water. Although they seem to be one, they're actually different. They're one and different. So when Krishna's in this material world, he's one with the world and different. And Jesus told his followers, you should be like this. Be in the world, but not of the world. We're in the world. Yes, I have a material body. My body requires material needs and necessities. I have wants and desires. So I fulfill them to the minimum amount, just the basics. We eat to live. We don't live to eat. Everything moderate, everything reduced. And spend the maximum time for spiritual practices. So there's many pastimes where Krishna becomes astonished by the beauty of his form. And the one that's mentioned, Nectar Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is in Dwarka Leela, where Krishna was inside the palace in Dwarka, in Rukmini's palace. There was some river flowing there, like you see in Ajmer in the palace. They arranged the palaces so that the palaces were built on a mountain. And if it wasn't the top of the mountain, and there was a mountain behind it, and there's some spring river coming out of the mountain, they would channel that river to come through the palace. So the mountain is like this, and the palace is over here. So the river is coming down the mountain with so much gravity, then they just channel it, make a canal, and it passes through the rooms of the palace. And then they make a little circle thing, and they grow flowers there, and then it goes out. And so all the rooms in the palace are cooled by the river flowing through the palace. You can go fishing too if you want. It's spring-fed water. You just want some drink. They live like kings, no? So Krishna's palace is like that in Dwarka. And he had this beautiful pool inside with a fountain. And one day he was just sitting there admiring the lotus flowers. And there was some fish swimming there, some goldfish or something. And he's just looking in the pool. And he looked in the pool, in the water, the way the sun was shining through the window. And then he saw the water and he looked. He said, whoa, who is this beautiful person? Because the surface of the water became like a mirror, like a darpan. So he said, oh, he's so attractive. I said, who are you? And he started speaking. And so Devaki and Vasudeva were also living there in that palace, his mother and father from Mathura. And they were standing by the pillar and they were watching. What is our son doing? Of course, he's grown up. He's a king now. He's a prince. Actually, he's not the prince. He's a prince. The king is Ugrasen. The king of Dwarka is Ugrasen. But he's looking and speaking. Where have you come from? I've never seen such a person as beautiful as you before. I'm feeling myself so much attracted to you. What is your name? And they were astounded at all. And then Narada Muni came and he saw that. And then he wrote about that. That Krishna's beauty is so great, he becomes astonished just to see it. Of course, some egoistic people are also like that. Oh, I'm so beautiful. How do I become so beautiful? Miss America or Miss Universe or whatever, they get pretty proud. So now the next verse that we're discussing here is from 10th canto, chapter 9, verse 13. And this is, I believe this chapter 9 is of 10th canto is Damodar Leela, Damodar Bandhan. And that was where Yashoda got thousands and thousands of ropes to tie Krishna, to bind Damodar, to bind his udar, his waist with the damo, with a rope. The waist is only like, how big? 15 inches, 12 inches in diameter. Really, baby. But then this verse was spoken there. Nachantar na bahir yasya na purvam na pichaparam purvaparam bahishchantar jagato yo jagachchaya. The uncommon characteristics of the form of Krishna are that he has no inside, outside, no beginning or end. Antar na bahir. Na purvam na pichaparam. Purvaparam bahishchantar. Krishna is existing before the creation, during the creation, and at the end of creation. He is the supreme proprietor of all the universes. So this verse is being spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit in the course of the Leela, of Damodar Leela, which will illustrate this very philosophical point. We have this idea of Tattva-vichara and Leela-vichara. There's the tattva, the truth, the knowledge, the gyan, the bhakti gyan, the knowledge of Krishna. And then there's the vigyan, the realization of that knowledge. And we get the realization of that knowledge, the vigyan, by dint of experience. So realization comes as a byproduct of experience. And then that experience is called the science, or vigyan. Practical knowledge. Theoretical knowledge and practical knowledge. There's theory, and then you put it into practice, which means experience. Practice means experience, then there's realization. So that realization becomes a science. It becomes a vigyan. So the point is being made here in this inception of this story about Krishna's Leela of Yashoda binding him. First, Shukadeva Goswami, in opening the chapter, he mentions this point, philosophical point about Krishna's identity. Because this is Shakti Tattva. So we're trying to understand how Krishna, he is Yogamaya Shakti. He is Swarup Shakti, he is spiritual energy. So although he comes and plays in this world, in this material world, has his drama, his Leela, he's not affected. He's separate. Like the oil is separated from the water. He's not affected by it. He's in contact with the world. So this point is being made in several verses, so we have a clear understanding of Krishna's identity. So this is the philosophical point was made, the gyan, the theory was made. God has no inside, no outside, there's no beginning, no end. And he's existing before creation, during creation, at the end of creation. He is the supreme proprietor of all the universes. Bhoktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram. Sarvaloka maheshwaram. Krishna's telling Arjuna in Gita, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, I am the proprietor of all the universes. So this, we hear this, and then we say, oh, is there any proof for this? Is there any proof to show that Krishna has no inside, no outside, no beginning, no end? Then the Leela unfolds, the 10th canto, chapter 9, where Mother Yashoda, she's punishing Krishna, so she chases him with a stick. says, "You rascal, I'm going to tie you up. You're breaking this butter pot, making a big mess everywhere, and you're always harassing all the ladies in the neighborhood, stealing all their butter and yogurt. So now you're going to get your just dessert. You're going to get punished." So then she took one rope. And Krishna's belly is so small, so she took one cowherding rope. Cowherding rope is 1 meter long. She put it around. "Hey," he said, "hold your breath." So when you hold your breath, your belly comes in, right? Or you wear a girdle or something. And then, but still, even the Krishna held his breath. It was 2 fingers too short. It was always like this. Tom, tom, tom. He said, "What is this? What is this? What kind of person is this? This rope is like this." She put the rope down. She put her hands on his belly. His belly is like this. Acha. And she picked up the rope. This is like this. And this is like this. I get another rope. She gets another rope and ties it together. Now 2 ropes. And then 2 fingers too short. Same. Are? Kya hoga? Then she gets a 3rd rope and a 4th rope. And she ties them all together. You know, and then still, 2 fingers too short. She gets hundreds and hundreds of ropes. Lacks and lacks of ropes. Still 2 fingers too short. Why? Because there's no inside, there's no outside. You can't. How can you? He's Visharup. He's Viratrup. How can you bind Viratrup? Can you go? Can you take a rope and say, "Listen, I'm going to tie up the universe"? It's impossible. You cannot do it. So that this Leela, which unfolds in this chapter, proves the point of the uncommon characteristics of Krishna. And then it goes on. There's so many other verses.
We have so many examples of Krishna doing what is impossible, he's making it possible.
Yes.
So this is one example of what is possible, he's making it impossible.
Yeah. Yeah, that potency is there. He can make the possible impossible or the impossible possible. So it should be possible to bind a baby with a rope, a 1 meter rope. That should be possible. But in this case, Krishna made it impossible. Gatana agatana patiyasi shakti. This is a term, Sanskrit term, which we like to say. It means the power to make the impossible possible and possible impossible. So it's an impossibility that a Mlechan Yavana born in America can become a Vaishnava. This is impossible. There's no calculation, no logic, no reason, no rhyme, no support, no way you can calculate this. That someone can entirely leave the Mlecha culture and adopt the Indian culture and every single in form and name and bhav, everything. Lord Brahma, who thinks he's pretty smart, our Brahma, he thinks he's pretty smart. He has 4 heads. 2 heads are better than 1. We have an expression like that. Husbands and wives get together and 2 heads are better than 1. So what to speak of 4 heads? He has 4 heads. So it's very good. 4 heads are even better. And so you have 4 heads. You should have a very successful family. Right? And so much women intuition. You have 1 male head and 3 females. So these 3 female heads and 1 male head, you should be a very successful family. Right? 4 heads are better than 1. And then these 3 of these heads are female intuition. New intuition. So Brahma is very intelligent. So when he came to Vrindavan, then Krishna showed him how he wasn't very intelligent. He became bewildered. Big time. Big time bewilderment. It's called Vimohan. Mo means bewilderment, confusion. Mo. And he was Vimo. Vishesh Mo. He's a very special type of bewilderment. Or complete. Also means complete. He was completely bewildered. Because this little boy was eating rice in his left hand, as I told last night, and he's running behind the cows, and he's wrestling with his friends, and he's splashing water and imitating the monkeys, ha! And then the monkeys, ha! And the monkeys climb in a tree, and he pulls their tail, and they go, ha! And he goes, ha! And this person is supposed to be God? It's not possible. So let me just see, I'm going to steal all his coward friends. So he took all the boys and the calves, and he hid them in a cave for 1 moment. See what he does. What he does. I just see what he does. Because they say he's God, then what does he do? So I took all his coward boyfriends, I took all his calves, and I put him in a cave. For 1 second of my time. 1 second of his time is 1 year of our time. And so Krishna said, "Oh, what is this? I'm eating with my friends? And this rascal Brahma?" You imagine. It's one thing if someone steals your friend he's in his house and they steal your friend. He says, oh, okay. But imagine you're eating with your friend. You're laughing, ha, ha, ha. And, you know, this is nice. You try this. Yeah, this is nice. You're eating, taking prasad with your friend. And all of a sudden, your friend disappears. Huh? Hey. Where'd he go? He went, hey, my friend. You feel so lonely, so unhappy, so brokenhearted. And then you see, hey, what, Brahma's done this. Because you know what I mean. You're God. You know who did it. Hey, Brahma, what is this Brahma? What is this guy? He not only took one friend, he took Subal, Sridham, everybody he took. Everybody. Except Balaram, because Balaram was his birthday party. He wasn't there then. He didn't take Balaram. He couldn't take Balaram anyway. But he took everybody out. Sridham, Subal, Gopata, Stoka, Krishna, Kinkini, Vidagda, and all of the coward boys. Vajrasane, Mandali, Bhadra, all the coward boys. Chordo. And then Brahma is saying, what? I mean, Krishna's, this guy is, what is this? I'm not going to put up for this. And immediately, one second, split second, he took the coward boys and Krishna just went, and he just manifested all, from his own body, all the coward boys again manifested. And all the caste just manifested. And all of them, and then Krishna showed, they all had their coward boy forms, unique, exact, individual coward boy forms, and all the unique, exact calves, white calves, and black calves, and red, and speckled ones, and all different kinds of noses, and ears, and everything, exactly to the T. And so then Brahma's looking at this. What did he do? He's some kind of mystic yogi. He expanded all these forms from himself. He must be a yogi. So some boy with yogic powers. So he's looking like that. And Krishna says, you take this yogic power. Then he showed each one of those calves, each one of those coward boys was a forearm form of Vishnu. Chaturbhuj Narayan. He saw two. So Brahma was looking, oh, I see Sridham and I also see Vishnu Roop. In one place I see Vishnu Roop and I see Sridham the coward boy. Oh, wait a minute, this is not some mystic yogi. Because a mystic yogi can expand his own form or a similar form or even become an animal form, but he can't expand forms of God because he's a yogi's material. He can expand material forms of himself or he can become an animal. He can become an animal or replicate animals. He can make five animals. But this yogi Krishna, he's making all Vishnu, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of Vishnu roops. Not only Vishnu roops from his friends, but from the calves. The calves are also showing Vishnu roop. The cows are showing Vishnu roop, Narayan roop. Oh, I am really bewildered, Vimohan. So after that was going on, then he offered his prayers in chapter 14 of the 10th canto. And this is verse 9, which is the famous verse, how this whole spiritual energy of the Lord and his appearance in this material world, how is it possible to understand? And he says, Lord Brahma said, Atapite deva padam buja dvaya prasada leshanu grihite vahi janati tattvam bhagavan mahimno nachanya eko pi chiram vichinvan. Atapite deva padam buja says, prasada leshanu grihite, prasad lesha, a little bit of prasad. You can only understand Krishna if you've got a little prasad. So he says, Brahma says, the science of Krishna is supreme. Narayan, the Lord of the spiritual sky, and Baladev are Krishna's vilas murtis, or pastime expansions. Vishnu is a plenary portion of Krishna. This is everything he realized after this whole coward, stealing these coward boys. Brahman is Krishna's bodily effulgence. Krishna Loka or Goloka is the topmost confidential interior portion of the spiritual sky. To give pleasure to his devotees, Krishna manifested his Golok pastimes in the material world through his inconceivable energies. Therefore, who can understand that Krishna? In other words, he can't. I can't. I'm saying what I'm perceiving, that so many Vilas Murtis expanded from him. And Vilas Murtis in the form of coward boys and cows, all Vishnu roops. I saw that he did this. And I know that he's come from Goloka. Goloka even Nivasatya Kilatma Bhuto. Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. But I can understand it. Who can understand? O Lord, only those who are favored by a slight trace of mercy from your lotus feet know your transcendental science and glories. Others cannot know, even if they discuss literatures and indulge in mental speculation. Janati tattvam. Janati tatvam bhagavan mihimno na chanya eko picharam vichinvan. Leish prasad leish anugrihita. From your padambuja dvaya, from your two lotus feet, that only by getting some mercy from you can we understand. Bhakti mama vijanati yavanyash yavanchasya tatvata. Krishna says in Gita that only by bhakti or devotion can we attract the attention of the Lord. And we attract the attention of the Lord, he may be merciful to us and reveal some of his glories. Pratyaksha vagamam dharmyam susukam kartamavyam. So Narada Muni explains, so Krishna's manifested transcendental form in the material world to engage in his leelas. So this is the power of meditating on Krishna. This verse explains the power of meditating on Krishna. This is Brahma speaking to Narada Muni in the third canto, chapter 9, verse 23. Esha prapana varado ramayatma shaktya yad yat karishyati garhiti kunavatara tasmin savikramam idam srijato picheto yunjita karma shamalam chayata vijayam. Lord Brahma told his son and his student, Narada, if one concentrates his mind on the powerful activities of the different incarnations of the Supreme Lord Krishna, who conducts those activities with the support of his own energy, known as Rama, which means Ladini Shakti or Lakshmi, and who awards benedictions to his surrendered devotees, then all the reactions of his fruitive activities become vanquished. So this is yunjita karma shamalam ya cha yata vijayam. So the karma shamalam all becomes reduced, diminished. Karma shamalam tasmin subikramam idam sujato varado ramayatma shaktya. The Yatma Shakti means his very self, personified as Rama. The Shakti of the Lord is personified as Rama, which means Lakshmi Devi, or the goddess of fortune. But the Adi Lakshmi is Radharani. She is Sarva Shakti Mai. She is a repository of all Krishna's Shaktis. Purusha and Shakti. Shakti and Shaktiman. So Krishna is conducting all of his activities with the support of his energy. No power, no activity. Right? If you have no power, can you do anything? No. So Krishna has Icha Shakti, that's desire, but that's the power of desire and willpower. God wills. But that's not enough. Radharani has to agree. Radharani has to agree to fulfill his will. If she says no, then he's flat. He's busted. He can't accomplish anything. He wills, yes, tonight I want to meet Radharani. And she says, forget it. And he can't meet her. Unless she agrees and gives her power to arrange for allow the meeting to happen, then he can't meet her. So Brahma is telling his student, Narada Muni, that there's so much power if you meditate on the incarnations of Krishna. Just the incarnations, the Dasavatar, Varaha, and that's all the Bhagavatam is about. Srimad Bhagavatam is all about Bhagavan in different forms. And we hear these pastimes of Varaha and Nisringadev and the different cantos, Kapila. And we meditate on them because we hear them every day. We read one verse, we meditate. And this way, our karma is being vanquished by contact with this transcendental subject matter, the Shabda Brahmana Bhagavat, and the form of Krishna in his various avatars. Then our Shamalam becomes pacified, our karma becomes pacified, cooled down, reduced, and ultimately eliminated. Karamani nirahati kintu chabakti bhajam. Brahma also says in Brahma Samhita, Karamani nirahati kintu chabakti bhajam. By bhakti bhajan, which means what? What is bhakti bhajan? Bhajan. To engage in worship Krishna. Shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam padasevanam. To hear and chant and remember Krishna. Hare Krishna. This is bhakti. This is bhajan. So he says, karmadi, karmani, nirdahati, kintu, chabhakti bhajan. This is Brahma Samhita. When you engage in bhakti bhajan, hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna, then karma, nirdahati. Nirdahati means karma is destroyed. So Narada Muni, now that he's got enlightened in the third canto from his father, now in the seventh canto, he's speaking to Yudhisthira. And in these chapters of the seventh canto, Narada Muni is speaking about ashram dharma to Yudhisthira, because Yudhisthira is, of course, the king of the planet. He's the head of the Pandavas, the senior Pandava, Yudhisthira. Right? Yudhisthira, then Bhima. Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Sahadeva, and Nakula. Nakula. So Yudhisthira is the emperor of the universe, emperor of the world. So Narada Muni came to visit him and give him some enlightenment about the proper delegation of his authority in running the world. So he described ashram dharma, brahmacharya ashram, sannyas, vanapras, grihast. Then he described the varna dharma. This is in 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he's telling Yudhisthira in 7th canto, chapter 15, verse 75, Yuyam niloke pataburi bhaga lokam punana munayo biyanti yesham grihan ava satiti sakshad gudam param brahma manushilingam. You inhabitants of earth are fortunate. So Narada Muni is saying, you earthlings, you Yudhisthira, you and your earthlings are very fortunate. Buri bhaga. Buri bhaga means very fortunate. Yuyam niloke pat buri bhaga. Hare Krishna. Buri bhaga. Niloke. Niloke means the planet of Nri. The human beings living on this planet, buri bhaga. Very, very fortunate. Why? Why are we fortunate? Narada Muni is telling 5,000 years ago to Yudhisthira that you earthlings are very fortunate. Why? Because munio bianti, saintly persons and sages, lokam punana munia bianti, yesham grihan avasat iti sakshad. Saintly persons and sages who purify everyone visit your homes. So in this earth, the munis, they will come to the griha, to the house, and they will give enlightenment. So this is a great fortune. And get spiritual knowledge is the greatest charity. There's no greater charity than the gift of knowledge. And the greatest knowledge is spiritual knowledge. So that's the greatest charity. Give spiritual knowledge. To free one from death. Can anybody in college teach you the science of getting free from death? Yes or no? No. I can teach you. You want to learn? You have to enroll in this college, take application requirements, reading requirements, examinations. Hare Krishna. So Narada Muni is telling Yudhisthira, you inhabitants of earth are very fortunate because saintly persons and sages who purify everyone visit your homes. This is because Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, Gudam Param Brahma Manushilingam, directly appears there in a human form from time to time. Avasat iti sakshat. This is what this phrase means. Like avatar. Avasat iti sakshat. Means that Krishna directly descends or appears. It's called descents. The descent of the Lord. He directly descends or appears there. And who is this Krishna? He's Gudham. Gudham means he's hidden. Param Brahma. The Param Brahma is hidden in what? In Manush Linga. Manusha Linga means the form of Manush, means a man. But he's not man, he's Supreme Brahman. So here, Narada Muni is explaining to Yudhisthira that your dear friend, that you're so intimately tied up with, your cousin Krishna, he's actually the Supreme Brahman. He's actually God. And you thought, you're treating him like your younger brother. Or almost like your son. Yudhisthira was acting almost like a father towards Krishna because he's quite a bit older. But Narada Muni is correcting his understanding and illuminating us to the actual identity of Krishna, which is the whole purpose of Sambandha Gyan, to understand the identity of Krishna. So this development goes on. The demigods are praying to Krishna before his advent. In the 10th canto, the demigods offer prayers before Krishna appears. They come to see Devaki. They visit Devaki in an invisible way. They visit Devaki in the prison house of Kamsa in Mathura. And all the demigods, because they know that the Supreme Brahman, that Krishna himself, the Supreme Godhead, Supreme Personality of God, is about to appear from Devaki's womb. Devaki Nandan, Vasudev. And so they come to offer prayers to her. And these are the prayers they're offering. This is 10.2, 34 to 37. These are the prayers. This is 35 and 36. Satvam na chedattaridam nijam bhaved vijnanam agyanam vipadyam arjanam guna prakashyer anumiyate bhavan prakashyate yasya chayena vaguna nanama rupe guna janma karma bir nirupitavye tavatasya sakshina manovichobhyam manomeya vartmano deva kriyayam pratiyantyatapihi. The devas glorified the Lord in the womb. He's not even born yet. Your form and qualities are scientific. They destroy the darkness of ignorance and are composed of Ishuddha Sattva, pure goodness, which means transcendental energy. But if on account of one's mundane conception, he thinks that you are composed, that your form is composed of mixed material elements, he will still gradually attain the transcendental position, for that is the result of meditating on a transcendental object. Your transcendental qualities are gradually revealed. So someone may look at Krishna. They say, "Oh, I think he's material like me. I'm a material body. He has a material body, but I can't stop thinking of him. He's so attractive. He's so beautiful, charming, sweet, and lovely, that his pastimes, his antics, his speech, his movements, is all very attractive and captivating to my mind and enchanting my heart. So I'm always thinking about, if someone says he's God, I can't really say he's God. He's a cute boy. He's very cute, Gopal. And he runs around playing here and there. But I keep thinking about him and thinking about him, thinking about him. So although my approach is that he's material like me, because he's not material, he's totally transcendental and totally spiritual, eventually my mind becomes purified because of that absorption in a transcendental object, in a transcendental person. My mind becomes purified, sanctified, and elevated to the proper conception, the Krishna conception, that this little boy that I thought was so cute, charming, lovable, and sweet, of course he is, he's also G-O-D, God. Well, what do you know? So this is, one way or another, if you fix your mind on Krishna, then you get the benefit. And there's more discussion here about the power of meditating on Krishna's transcendental form. In other words, first, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is using verses from the Bhagavatam to establish the transcendental identity of Krishna's form. He's made of energy, but not... We're also, our body is made of energy, material energy. His body is made of energy, spiritual energy. It's called Yogamaya or Srup Shakti. And what is the difference? Well, there's some difference. Our body is perishable, his body is imperishable. Our body has a limit. We have an outside of our body and an inside. Krishna's body is no outside or inside, it's everywhere, it's nowhere. Krishna's everywhere and he's nowhere. He's inside of everything, he's outside of everything. So there's so many comparisons these various verses are establishing the distinction. What our body is, which is made of material energy, and what Krishna's body is made of spiritual energy, so that we become convinced, we become clear. What is the difference between God is walking amongst us? Duryodhan saw him. He thought he was a mundane person. Shakuni and they all saw him. They didn't understand his identity. They were in ignorance. He looks similar, but he's not. So all these verses from different persons, the demigods are praying, Narada Muni's teaching, or Brahma's teaching Narada is speaking to Yudhisthira, and then he's saying, so they've established something about the transcendental identity of the Lord's body. Then they're talking about the effect of the body. The effect, if you meditate on this body, if you meditate on Krishna's transcendental body, what will happen to you? You'll get liberated. You get purified. You get free from birth and death. But if you meditate on any body of this world, of any body made of material energy, will you get free from birth and death? No, you'll stay in it. The samsara chakra. If I meditate on my wife day and night, my wife, then I become wife. This is a science, the way it works. Whatever Krishna says right in Gita, chapter 2, verse 59 and 60. From contemplating the objects of the senses, one becomes attached. From attachment, lust develops. From lust, anger, frustration, all these things. But it's attachment. So your mind goes through your attachments. So whatever you're attached to most, that's where your mind goes. So if you're attached to woman, at the time of death, your mind's not going to go to God, it'll go to woman. Oh, my wife, help, Yamadutas are coming. or whatever, or just the pain of death. Death itself is enough scary thing, it's so much pain. Forget the Yamadutas and the barking dogs and all this phantasmagoria they describe. Just pretend that doesn't exist. It does exist, but say you don't want to believe it. You think it's all fairy tale. Okay, fine. But you have to believe pain. Pain is real. You ever been painful? So sometimes they say that the pain of death is like being bitten simultaneously by 100 scorpions. 100 scorpions biting you all over the body simultaneously. Very burning poison. Ah, they call it the death fire. Death fire. Actually, the body gets very hot before you die. Very hot, and you start trembling and arms flailing everywhere. Usually you have so many drugs that you're just like... But a proper death, a drugless death, is very, very painful. Very, very painful. So they give morphine and so many drugs so you don't have to feel the pain. But nevertheless, you die. And whatever you're attached to, that's what you get in next life. Because your mind goes there. The pain is all there. Why? I'm thinking of wife. So then, 10 months later, baby wife. For the rest of your life. So these series of verses are establishing the special effect, the unique and special effect of meditating on Krishna's transcendental body, quite contrary to thinking about or meditating on any body of this material world. You meditate on the body of this material world, you come again to this material world. You meditate on Krishna either knowingly or unknowingly. You think he's a material personality, you meditate on him, you'll get purified and elevated and self-realized. And that's unknowingly. If you meditate on him knowingly, yes, his body is Satchidananda Vigraha, it's totally transcendental, it's made of Swarup Shakti, Yogamaya, then also you get the perfection, but even sooner than later. So the effect is there. So now there's some more verses. This is Shukadev Goswami to Parikshit, 9th canto of Bhagavatam, 24th chapter, 65th verse. Yasyana makara kundala charukarna brajat kapola subagam suvilasahasam niyotsavam natatripur jashibi pibantyo naryo narascha mudita kupita nimescha. Men and women. Everyone listening? Men and women become ecstatic. Bliss. How? You might have your answer to that. How they become ecstatic. But Shukadeva Goswami is going to give another answer. Men and women become ecstatic. How? By drinking. So men and women become ecstatic by drinking. All right. This part of the verse we can agree with. But what else does Shukadeva said? By drinking with their eyes, the Lord Krishna is nectaring sweet and chanting smile. The beauty of Krishna's face, decorated with makar kundal, fish-shaped, dolphin-shaped earrings, and the beauty of his charming face. It's interesting. Being unsatiated and unsatisfied by this drinking this beauty of Krishna's face and smile, everyone, all men and women, they condemn the Creator for making their eyes blink, which thereby cause a disturbance in their seeing the Lord without cessation. That's what happens when some man sees some really beautiful woman, his eyes pop out of his head. So this Shukadeva Goswami is saying, this is the unique aspect of Krishna's transcendental form. And as far as human beings, then a man will be attracted to look at a woman, and a woman will be attracted to look at a man. But will men and women be attracted to look at the same form? This is something unique. Man is naturally attracted to woman, woman is naturally attracted to man. This is the nature of the body. But Shukadeva Goswami is saying, this is a speciality. Krishna's a male form, he's male. So naturally females will want to see, oh, so charming, so dashing, so powerful, so beautiful, lotus eyes, long hair, beautiful smile, teeth like pearls. Naturally women would be attracted. But is he saying men also? The men and women, that means men and women means the souls in the body of a man or the soul in the body of a woman, they become inextricably, inexplainably attracted to the beautiful form of Krishna. Well, this is one of the unique qualities of Krishna. That men and women, they become ecstatic by meditating on Krishna, drinking with their eyes the Lord's nectar, sweet, enchanting smile. Savilas Hasam. Savilas Hasam, his smile is Savilas. It says Savilas Hasam. It means actually, what is saying, actual saying here, Shukadeva Goswami is saying to Parikshit, that Krishna's smile, his laughter, and his smile is full of pastimes. Vilas. Savilas. Vilas means intimate pastimes with his beloved devotees. Savilas Hasam. And what does he translate? Sweet enchanting smile. So that would have been, you know, the Manoharam Hasam or whatever. But Savilas Hasam is very that he smiles, and when he smiles, his smile is indicating different pastimes. Different pastimes. When he smiles one way, it means Rasalila. When he smiles another way, it means Rati Keli. When he smiles another way, it means Jal Keli. All different pastimes are conveyed by the way Krishna smiles or even his laughter. As you know, there's different kinds of laughter. So Savila Hasam, Hasam means smile, Hasam means Hasya. Hasya also means laughter. There's different kinds of laughter. There's laughter when you're with your buddies. Ha 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 ha. And there's laughter when you're intoxicated on the whiskey. Ha ha ha. And then there's laughter when you're with your mother and father. And the kid says something funny and the mother's laugh. And there's laughter between lovers. When lovers, husbands and wives are intimately connected, then there's some laughter also there in the midst of those pastimes. There's some inarticulate sounds and some laughter. So this is Savilas, Savilas Hasam. All of these kind of meanings are contained in this word, Savilas. So when one sees this face of Krishna and experiences this beautiful, enchanting smile, which is full of pastimes and full of so many different moods and bhavas, and then he sees the dolphin-shaped earrings, Makar Kundal, dancing on Krishna's ears, and the beauty of his charming face, one becomes captivated. He can't take his eyes away. So this is the power of Krishna's face, so much attractive that men and women are attracted, and they become so attracted that they curse the Creator for making imperfect eyes. These eyes are imperfect. Why didn't you make the eyes of the human being like the way you made the eyes of the fish? You are the same Creator. You made fish and you gave fish eyes. They're called fish eyes. And you made human beings and we gave human eyes. But our eyes are deficient. If we had been fish, then we would have been happy because fish eyes don't blink. The fish's eyes never blink. They're always open. So the gopis are praying in one verse. They're saying, why? You don't know what you're doing, you stupid. The Creator, you're stupid, you puggle. You made the fish. And fish, what are there? What's there to see in the ocean? There's nothing to see. What can a fish look at? Another fish. A fish is just a fish. All they see is water. There's nothing. What's there to look at? It's all dark. There's nothing to look at down there. But you gave them such special eyes. And us, we're walking in this land of Vrindavan and this Braj. And there's so many wonderful things to see. This wonder, the perfection of vision is to see Krishna's form. And you goofed it. You blew it. You didn't make the eyes correctly. They go boink, 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 boink. We start drinking the nectar. And imagine if you had some nectar, some amrit, and you start drinking. You say, wow, this is really good. And somebody grabs the glass. Hey! And they take it away. Hey, what are you doing? That was so tasty, so I felt so healthy drinking that tonic, that nectar, and then you just grabbed it away from my hand. Hey, nonsense. Stupid. Give me that. So this is, it says drinking with the eyes, drinking the nectar form of Krishna. It's like nectar for the eyes. It's a Netrotsav, festival for the eyes, Netrotsav. So this is some discussion about Sambandhagyan, the science of Krishna's energies. Hare Krishna.